So this morning, just a really, really great atmosphere in here today. I can just sense the Spirit of God moving in here today. And I just want to encourage you just right now just to open your hearts. And I know sometimes we get locked into, let me hear something that I need to know. I really pray today that you, instead of being taught, that there is something that is going to be caught today for you to go the distance in your walk with God. Sometimes we write so many things down. Come on, how many of you got a bunch of stuff written down? You don't even read what you wrote. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of stuff written, and I sometimes I go back to it, sometimes I don't. But there is something about being in a service like this where something is more caught than it is taught. And that's what I'm praying today, is that as we share this message with you, that there's going to be just such a strong spirit, just the Spirit of God just working here. It'll be something that you catch and something that you're able to run with. Amen. So I want to recap our series that we've been in. We've been in this series entitled Living the Best Life. We want you to live not just your best life, but the best life. Come on, somebody. Sometimes what we think is the best is only just really good. And I believe that God has better in mind than our idea of the best. Do you believe that? And so that's why we entitled this series, Living the Best Life. And we kicked it off. And what we wanted to do, we kicked it off 3 weeks ago. And what we wanted to do was use our core values as kind of a template on how to live the best life. Our core values wasn't just these cool things that sounded good, but it was actually, this is the ingredient. This is how you live the best life. And so we just wanted to expound on it a little bit and just share some of these things with you, because we believe that God's got some good plans for you, and he's meant for you to live them out. And so when we started the series in week one, a couple of things that we went over, we said if you're going to live the best life, then your life has to be all about Jesus. And that's a strong statement, because we like ourselves, amen? We like us. And so sometimes we get kind of focused on ourselves. But if we're going to live the best life, it has to be all about Jesus. Meaning this, we have to understand that Jesus is the source of our lives. That if we're going to have the best life, we have to know that it's going to come from him and not just from us, okay? And so it's understanding that he is the source. And ultimately, he is the foundation. He is what we are building our entire life upon. And if you build your life upon the solid rock of Christ Jesus, no matter what comes against you, it is going to stand. Amen. And so I believe if we build our families on the solid rock of Christ Jesus, it's going to stand. If we build our business on the solid rock of Christ Jesus, it is going to stand. No matter what it is, if we build it on that rock, it will stand. But then we also said, because Jesus is in our life, anything is possible. Anything is possible. If you read through the Bible and you see where Jesus was, things happened. Like things were happening that people didn't expect. And I believe that when we allow Jesus to be the center, the focus of our lives, things begin to happen that we even scratch our own and say our own heads and say, how did that happen? Like, how was I able to do that? And it was because of Jesus, the solid rock in our lives that gave us the confidence maybe to take some steps that we wouldn't normally take. We decided to start a business. That's not like you to start a business, but you had a firm foundation. And you said, because my life is built on Jesus, I can take the risk. So we took the step of faith. And so with Jesus, all things are possible. And then last week, we kept it going. And we said, if we're going to live the best life, we can't do it by ourselves. That life is better together. It's better to do this thing called life together. And because we have these burdens that are just too great for us to carry all alone. And when we have each other, we can help carry those heavy burdens. Anybody in here need a little bit of help? Come on, you know what I'm saying? And it's good to know that there is somebody that's going to help you carry the heavy burdens. But it's important for us to understand that I have a part also in helping somebody carry their burdens too. It's not just y'all come help me, but it's I want to help you as well. And that's why we say it around here that everybody has a part. Everybody has a part to play whenever it comes to the kingdom of God. And this is what we said last week, that I need Jesus, I need you, and you need me. Amen. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus, but I need you and you need me. Come on, listen, a pastor got to have some people. And if you don't have a people, he's in trouble, all right? But people got to have a pastor too. And if they don't have a pastor, they're in trouble. So I need you, you need me. But at the end of the day, we all need Jesus. Can I hear a good amen? So last week, by the way, can we give a round of applause for everyone who went public in their faith, water baptism last week? That was awesome. really awesome. We'll be baptizing again at the end of October. And so if maybe you were hesitant about taking a step this past Sunday, don't worry. We'll be coming up at the end of October. You can take that step and go public with your faith. We cannot wait to celebrate you and your walk with God. So today, let's jump into this message. And if you have a Bible, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screens for your convenience. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. This is one of the letters that Paul wrote to one of the churches. He was actually in prison whenever he was writing this letter. So if you thought you had it bad, just keep in mind Paul was in jail and he was still taking care of business. That's pretty impressive. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. It says, "And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing." I don't know if you underline stuff or you write stuff down in your Bible or somewhere. I would write that. "See that you go on growing." I like that. "See that you keep growing," is what he's saying. "See to it that as you go, you keep growing. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong." Say strong. "So that you become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives," watch this, "let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done." You're hearing that already and you're thinking, man, these people are living a good life. I mean, they're strong in their faith. They're overflowing with joy and thanksgiving. This sounds to me like the best life. And this is what Paul is trying to get them to see. Hey, this is the kind of life we want to live. "Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done." Watch this in verse 8. "And don't let others spoil your faith and joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of what Christ has said." See, that's a challenge of building my life on what Jesus said, the solid rock, versus building my life on what everybody else says. And I want you to know there could be a little bit of a conflict inwardly, because there are some smart people out there that would tell you one thing. But listen, we can't get away from the solid rock of Christ Jesus. Any advice that's given to you that leaves out Jesus and the possibility of Jesus, it's not sound advice. Because he is who we're building our lives on. So he says, don't let them spoil your faith and your joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of what Christ has said. For in Christ, there is all of God in a human body. So watch this. So you have everything when you have Christ. I feel like we read that and we agree with that. But when we leave from church, we still feel like we need more. Seriously. He says, you have everything when you have Christ. And you are filled with God through your union with Christ. He is the highest ruler with authority over every other power. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather today in this place. And already, Father, we sense that you're moving. Now, Lord, I pray that as your word is spoken, as we hear your word, Father, let it give life to our bones. Let it speak to our spirit. Let it transform the way we think today, Father. And help us, Father, to see the possibilities of the life that you have for us. I pray, Father, that we won't be trapped in old ways of thinking. I pray today, Father, that we would open our lives completely and say, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. So, Lord, I ask for your help to communicate this message today. Lord, I want to speak it with the tone of heaven. I want it to sound exactly like you. So, Lord, today in this place, have your way. Come and touch every heart, every life, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So today we're going to carry on with this Living the Best Life series. And you ever had this, your hopes up for something that was beginning in your life, and you just go into it with a lot of anticipation, and you're excited, and you just know everything's going to go like really, really, really good, and then you get into it, and a couple little things happen. Nothing big, but just a couple little things happen, and you begin to wonder. See, I find that we don't go automatically to worry. We go to wonder first, and we start wondering, what in the world? You ever ask that question before? Something just happened. You're like, what in the world? And it goes from wondering, asking, what in the world? And I feel like when we can't answer the what in the world question, that's when we begin to worry. You know what I'm saying? Like what in the world? Like, how can this be happening? And we can't come up with a good conclusion for it. And so we start asking other people. And you ever send a text to somebody just telling them what just happened, and then you end it with what in the world? And then they respond back with something that you thought was going to be very life-giving and encouraging. And then they got worried for you. And now you're nervous. Because now you wasn't at the point of worry, but they just kind of pushed you over that edge a little bit, and they just started telling you all these things that they read and they heard, and then they tell you about a friend that went through this. And next thing you know, you found yourself where one moment you were up here and you were just jacked, excited about it, and then you had that one what in the world, and next thing you know, now you're saying, OMG, what in the world? Because now your whole idea has changed, and you're saying, what did I get myself into? Why would I even do something like this? And I feel like these are the things that happen to us in our lives. These are the things, because I think everyone, whenever they're building their life, they have this idea that it is going to be awesome. Am I right? I mean, when you're a young person, you're getting your life set up, and you finally get your freedom, and I don't know what that is, because, like, you still got responsibility and stuff, and so you feel like you're getting your freedom. In your mind, you just see everything as perfect. Like, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to drive this. I'm going to live in this. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to marry him. You know, like, all these ideas. We're going to have two kids, and they're going to be the best kids there ever were, and we're going to work here, and we're going to all these ideas. And then as you start living that great life, you know, living your best life, things start happening. You start asking what in the world, and things just begin to happen where you're like, man, I thought it was going to be good, and it's turning out to be this. And you don't even know what to call it. Like, can we call it bad? Because, like, we're Christians. We're supposed to always have a positive outlook on this kind of stuff. So if I say it's bad, I'm not grateful for what God has given me, and so I got to, like, pretty it up and say, the Lord has blessed me. Come on now. Come on, we're good Southern people, and that's what we like to do. The Lord has blessed me. I don't know what's going on with her, but the Lord has blessed me with her. I'm praying. I didn't believe in that intercession stuff, and I'm interceding now. You know what I'm saying? Like, these things begin to happen in our lives, and it begins to, I feel like it just starts chipping away. A friend of mine, he's a big Miami fan. The U, I know y'all don't like him, so I can talk about this, okay? Just kind of makes you feel better about your life. And so he's a big Miami fan. And so the opening game of the year is next Sunday night, is LSU versus Miami. And that's the kickoff, you know, for us. And so my team obviously is LSU. His team is Miami. And this is what he told me. He said, man, back in the day, I'd trash talk you all day long. But he said, right now, I'm just going to kind of back up. Just kind of leave this thing alone. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to back up and leave this thing alone too, because I just don't know what's going to happen. And I feel like that's kind of what happens to us. There are those seasons where we go into it confidently. Maybe as a business owner, you went into a season confidently, just like, yeah, we're about to crush it this quarter. And then one little thing happens, and you went from crushing it to it crushing you. Maybe as a mom, you thought this school year, we got that new teacher, and everything's going to be awesome. And by like Thursday of last week, it was like, oh, this is where we're at. We're so confident, but now I just need to step back a little bit. And sometimes that step back is actually like an anchor that keeps us from ever stepping forward. Because we don't realize what that step back is actually doing to us in that moment. We just kind of feel like this is the hand that was dealt to me, and so now I just got to deal with it. And I find this, and I promise none of this stuff's in the notes. This is just kind of where the Lord's leading me right now. I find that we kind of catch a little bit of an attitude at that point. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't going to let this beat me. Come on, anybody got a little attitude in here? Dude, don't raise your hand and point at your wife right now, whatever you do. Because she may show you some attitude. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, we get a little attitude with it. And sometimes that could be good. We get a little attitude of faith. But what happens when that attitude goes beyond our faith? It begins to play off of our fears. And now, instead of speaking in faith, we're speaking out of fear. And without realizing it, we're vocalizing our fears with such a camouflage cover on it because we don't want anyone to know that we're afraid of what's actually going on. And so it kind of sounds a little bit cocky, if you will. It sounds a little bit arrogant, if you will. But we try to throw a couple of scripture verses in there with it. You know what I'm saying? Put a little Jesus talk on it and kind of make it sound right so that we can justify it. But in reality, what we're doing is we're creating a new lens. We're creating a new stance. We're creating a new platform for which we're going to live our lives out of. And if we're not careful, that platform will last not just for a season, but it will be a year. Then it'll be 5 years. Then it'll be 10 years. And we get 10 years down the road and we're sitting in a church service one day and somebody just happens to say one thing that would knock on the door. And that's where you have that aha moment where you realize, what have I been doing? I have been missing out on the goodness of God. And I have just turned God into the kind of person that just kind of, here it is, take it however you want, and this is how it's supposed to be. And our whole perspective, our whole idea of God, our whole idea of life, our whole idea of all these different things really becomes negative. And then we begin to give ourselves this underdog complexion. Come on, now I feel like I'm preaching. We give ourselves this underdog complexion that we feel like we got to prove to everybody that this thing is not going to take me, but in reality, this thing is taking you. It has already taken you because it has moved you off of your foundation, which was the rock of the solid rock of Christ Jesus. And now you're standing on this new foundation that you built and you piece together with little things about Jesus and little things about the real life that everybody wants to live. And we put it all together and this becomes our stance. We twist scripture verses and we say all this stuff and we mix it up to try to prove we got this. And in reality, we don't even like it. But this is what I got, and so y'all got to be happy if I got to be happy. That's kind of the attitude with it. And what I want to do today is, I'm not going to attempt to dismantle that bomb, because I promise you that is a bomb in and of itself. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a better way to live the life that God has for you. Amen? A better way. Because believe it or not, we are living more reactionary than we are living in action. We're living more reactive because of our fears than we are living in faith and acting upon the word of God. We're more reactive to the bad things that are happening. It's almost, well, let me say it like this. It's almost like we're constantly playing catch up. See what I'm saying? It's like we're trying to keep up, and I don't feel like I'm doing good enough. And so because we're always in that second place mode, we're mad at anybody else that might move ahead. We're mad at them. You don't know what it's like to be me. You don't understand. And listen, you don't know. They just might be living by faith and God's doing all the heavy lifting for them. So today I want to help you with this. And so I want to give you three keys to living your best life. And this is what I thought I would do. I thought I'd give you the heavy stuff first and then give you the inspirational stuff at the end. Is that okay? I just felt like if I gave you the inspiration first and then the heavy stuff at the end, you'd leave around and you'd say, man, that was good, but I don't know if I can do this. And so I wanted to reverse it, okay? And so the first thing is this. The first key, if you're going to live your best life, like you got a key to your car, you got a key to your house, and you ain't driving them and you ain't getting in without these keys. The first key to living your best life is practice. Say practice. So my boys play football. And football season just started, but I need you to know they started practicing long before the season began. Yeah. Like the beginning of July. Yeah. Like mandatory kind of practices, y'all. And somebody right now is just like losing their mind. I can't believe they do that to these kids, taking away their summer. Listen, they chose to play football. They love the game, okay? And so they went. They're doing this thing. But they begin to practice, and as they were practicing, guess what they started doing? Conditioning them. They're conditioning them, getting them used to the things that are going to occur during the course of a season so that they can endure all the way to the end. But they have to practice, and they got to keep practicing. And listen, just because the season begins doesn't mean that they stop practicing. We had a game yesterday. They need to keep practicing. We had a game Thursday night. My oldest son, they need to keep practicing. You're going to watch your team. You're going to say, they need to keep practicing. I'm going to watch my team. I'm going to say, they need a new coach. And so anyway, that's a whole nother thing. So watch this. Watch this. When I say practice, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how you live the life that God has given you. When we're practicing this, it's how you're doing it, how you're living it. So I'm going to drop this on you. Your life is the sum of your practices, the sum of your habits. That's what your life is. If you look at all your habits, the things that you're doing in your life, that's basically what your life is. Now, we got some really good habits, am I right? But we also got some habits that we need to change. And those things are affecting our lives. And so we can sit here all day and believe that God's got the best life for us, but if we're not practicing the things that are being preached, we can't live the best life. We can always have an opinion about it, but what's the point of having an opinion if we never get to live it? Okay? And so when we begin to talk about practice, I want you to think about the things that you do every day. The things that are occurring every day, your daily routine, your schedule, how you're spending your time, your actions, your reactions, the words that you're speaking, the tone that you're speaking. These things become practice. Do you know if you lose your mind on one person one time, you just started a practice. And then if you do it again, you're practicing that. Then if you do it a third time, imagine if that's in one day, you're getting really good at this. And over a course of time, you've practiced it so often that now it's just second nature. You can just lose your mind on anybody like that without even trying. Why? Because we've practiced it so much. Why is it so hard for us to change? Because we've practiced it one way, and now we've got to do it another, and that's hard. The other morning, I dropped my son off at school, and I was driving to go back to our apartment, and guess where I went? I went to my old house. Why? Because I drove that way for 7 years every single day. That without even thinking, it came to me naturally. And so I dropped him off. I got in the truck. And I didn't even tell anybody. Y'all the first people I'm telling. I need help, okay? Back to last week. Life is better together. You need me? I definitely need you. Okay. So I was in the truck and I drove off. I know where I live now. I know where I need to go. I was driving down the road and it hit me. Wait a minute, I don't live here anymore. So I had to turn around. So what does that tell me? That means I got some more practicing to do. Practice it to where I don't even have to think about it. See, whenever we start talking about discipleship, when we start talking about change, we like the idea of change, but the practice of change is so difficult. We love the results of change. We like to see the finished product, but what you have to do to get there is where the challenge really is for us. And everybody here today would raise their hand and say, I want to live the best life, but if we're going to live the best life, we're going to have the best practices. So we like to watch performances. We like to watch shows. We like to see athletes. We like to see musicians and different arts and all these different things. But in order for them to put on that type of performance, there's an immense amount of practice that must take place for them to get to that point. And I believe it's the same thing with us. If we're going to live the life that God has intended for us, what are our practices? Let me say it like this. How are you practicing? How are you practicing this thing called life? So there are some godly practices. And those godly practices are going to produce some growth in your life. So watch this. Most change that you're going to go through in your life is not just stopping something. See, this is the battle because we just say, if I could just stop this. Like, think of a kid. If they could just stop doing these things, life would be better. But it's not just a matter of them stopping, it's a matter of them also starting. Are you grabbing this today? If they could just stop with this whole bathroom situation, it would be better. But if they're going to stop, they have to start something new. And that, my friends, called potty training. We are helping them practice so that they don't have to do that anymore. And life gets better once they learn how to do it the right way. Feeding themselves, that's a game changer. Because whenever you're feeding them, they're doing the little bubbles with the carrots, you know what I'm saying? And just spitting it out. Some mama right now is like, glory to God, somebody knows what I'm going through. But once they begin to learn their train and they practice it enough, guess what? Your hands are free to eat your food now. And you don't have to eat strained carrots anymore. You can eat your fried chicken again. So here's the question, do you have good practices? Are your practices causing you to grow? Because your practice becomes your pattern. I want you to grab that. It becomes your pattern, whether it's good or not. So watch this. Think of your personal practices. How you handle yourself, because that's who you really are. Not who you are in front of everybody else, but who you are when you're by yourself. How are you handling your personal practices, your habits, the things you're doing? What about your family practices? Can I tell you one of the most challenging practices facing families today is this. Think about dinner. Just sitting down at the dinner table. Can we all just put it away? Come on, you know what I'm saying? We got to practice that because it's second nature to us now. We don't even try anymore. It just happens. Am I right? We've done it so many times. We could just pull out. We can be texting somebody, having a conversation, and talking to you, having another conversation all at the same time. And it makes sense both ways. That's incredible. Look at your neighbor and say, you're pretty good. How did we get there? We practiced it. So think about that. Personal practices, family practices, spiritual practices. What about financial practices? Knock, knock. All of these things are affecting our life. They're affecting and determining, really, are we going to live the best life or are we just going to live, watch this, our best life? Because our best life is the best that we can do with what we're given. But I need you to know that God's got a whole lot more. And God's never stopped giving to you. I thought I'd get a better response right there. God has never stopped giving to you. This is what happens when we don't see him as able to do that. That's where the flow stops. But what if we saw God for who he really is? Then we wouldn't question his provision in our lives. See, that's a whole nother message y'all making me preach. You should have clapped, okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Seriously, I mean, just flow with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. It says this. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Notice that he's linking peace with practice. Let me say that again. He's linking peace with practice. A lot of times the lack of peace in our life is coming from ourselves. I shouldn't be pointing when I say that. It makes it sound rude. I'm sorry. It's because of our practices. And that's why we're struggling with peace. But he says this. He says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. This is Paul talking to him. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So this is why we say as a church, you have to grow as you go. Because it's an ongoing growth process. Can I tell you, you never ever get there. You just keep going. Because faith it's not an arrival point, it's a journey, it's another step, it's just keep stepping. And somebody right now is just waiting, waiting, waiting for God to do something, and God's like, take a step. And sometimes what we think needs to be the step isn't the step because we want it all. Want it all. So imagine if I had something up here on the ceiling. We did this with Serge the other night. Imagine if we had a $100 bill up there and I told you to come get it. Everybody'd be jumping and jumping and somebody would try to get on somebody's shoulder and prop themselves up, trying to get to it and all this stuff. And then we start praying, God, help me to get up there. Help me get that thing. Help me to get that. Help me to get that. And then God gives you a ladder and you get mad at God because he gave you a ladder and he didn't give you the $100 bill up there. Someone say, like he gave you the way to get there, but we wanted the $100 bill and we missed the fact that God was providing the whole time. Because it would require, watch this, it would require a step and another step and another step. That's why I say you got to practice. And a lot of people aren't practicing. And because they're not practicing, they're sitting. And they're waiting for something to be said that's going to inspire them to move. Listen, we got to get up and we got to get stepping and we got to start practicing our faith and not just saying what we believe, but actually living it out. Amen? Amen? Yeah. So, what does that look like? Simple things like reading the Bible. Begin to read God's word and let it begin to be fuel for your soul. Studying the scripture. That's right, study. We're going to get on our kids about studying. We should study the scripture as well. Because when we're studying the scripture, we're seeing what God is saying, and we're also seeing what God meant when he said it. Because we have a good idea of how to twist some verses, make them say what we want. reading the Bible, studying the scripture, going to church, serving on a team. All of these things are good practices. Why? What are they doing? They're positioning you to receive life. You say, well, I don't like dealing with other people. That's a lot of the reason why we're not living the life that God intends for us, because we're trying to do it without people. But I need you to know, God delivers it best with people in your life. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I don't feel like y'all like those, so I got to clap for myself, you know? Keep myself going up here. Every now and then, my son will jumpstart a clap for me, and I appreciate that. Mr. Rick did it one time. I don't know if he liked it or if he just felt sorry for me, but he did it. Hey, e-groups will be kicking off. Good practice is attending an e-group. That's a good spiritual practice that's going to have an effect on all areas of your life. Giving your tithes and offerings, that's a good practice. It's a good practice to live the life that God intended for you. Using your spiritual gift, that's a good practice. All of these things, all of these practices, when you put them into play, it sets you up, watch this, to win. It sets you up to win. And there's always, listen, I, as a musician growing up, there were things, and there were, listen, playing the guitar, there was one chord I hated to play the most. You know what it was? An F bar chord. F bar chord, because you got to get your arm all twisted under like this and get it just right to strum it to where you get all the notes out. And I hate it. And so I would do without practicing it forever and ever. And then they wanted to play these songs that had the F chord in there, and it was hard to play. And I would struggle on the song. The reason I was struggling in that area is because I wouldn't practice. And there's some struggling going on in some people's lives, and it's simply because they're not practicing. And whenever it's performance time, it's showing up. Come on, somebody. Nod your head at me. Just do something. Let me know. You're here. So what do I need to have godly practices? Watch this. What do I need to have godly practices? I need godly people in my life. Let me say it like this. I need some godly examples. I need somebody that I can look at and see what they're doing to get an idea of what I need to be doing. Because it's easy to hear this stuff, but it's even better to hear it and see it. And so when I'm able to see someone who is putting into practice, it's easier for me to join in that practice. Can you agree with that? And so this, honestly, this is why e-groups exist, so that you can practice your faith with other people. And as you're going, some people struggle at practice. But that's okay, because we can help them out as they're practicing. And if we're struggling as we're practicing, they can help us too. Isn't it incredible how this works together? It's absolutely incredible. And so we need some godly examples. And what did the verse say in Philippians 4? Paul said, keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me. He also said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, listen, I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to help you to live the life that God has for you. And that's what we want to do here at Emerge. We want to help you to live the best life. But it's going to take some practice. It's going to take some steps. And sometimes it's going to be a little bit challenging. But that's okay. Because if we want victory, we understand there has to be a challenge. Am I right? There has to be a challenge. And so who's up for the challenge? If we're up for the challenge, let's begin to practice. So here's the action step. You're saying, so what do I do? Give me something practical, okay? Pattern your life after godly people. Pattern your lives after godly people. Thankful that I had good examples in my life. My parents are here today. It was never a question about Sunday church. Never, ever a question. It was never, ever a question about being involved in a church, serving a church. It's never a question. It's just what we did. And I can tell you that the success that our family had wasn't just because God saved us. Wasn't just because we were favored by the Lord. It was because of some good godly practices. And because we practiced what we believed, we got to enjoy the fruits of it. And we're still enjoying it. And now we have to continue practicing it to show the next generation so that they can continue to live out the faith. Amen? Are you grabbing this today? And so it's not just for you, but it's also for the generations that come after us. And I think that's worth it. Amen? So here's the second thing. First thing was practice. The second one is persistence. Persistence. And this is how you handle it. How do you keep going? It's just persistence. So you start out strong doing something. That was good. Only to slack off because sometimes it's just what? Too much. We start strong, get tired over time. We don't see results, we get tired. We give our attention to something else, okay? Sometimes we start strong with living for God. That's it. Come on, family. We're getting back in this thing. We start strong, only to back away and then fall into some things that perhaps God had to save us from in another season of our lives. Why is that? Because we're lacking some persistence. And can I say some of that lack of persistence is tied to that lack of practice, okay? So when it comes to persistence, this is what Paul tells us in Galatians 6, verse 9. He says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. That means I have to consciously make myself do these things because I know they're good, even though sometimes I don't feel like it. Amen? Because sometimes you're not going to feel like it. Sometimes you're going to wake up on Monday morning, maybe tomorrow, and you're going to say this as the alarm's going off, I don't feel like it today. Am I right? But you got that big thing to do at work. And so whether you feel like it or not, you're not hitting snooze. You're getting up. Well, some of us are. Others of you are hitting snooze as much as you can. And then you're flying into work. See, that's not good practice. The good things, you don't always feel like doing. And so what am I going to have when I don't have the feelings to do those good things? I've got to have some persistence. I've got to have something that is going to keep me going even when I don't feel like it. So let's go back to that verse in Galatians 6. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Can I just throw in here too? Because somebody in here might be dealing with some burnout right now. That falls right into this category right here. The whole thing with burnout, you can get burnout at church, you get burnout at work, you can get burnout at home. And there's a lot of people that are getting burnt out. And the reason for burnout is not what you think it is. It's not. It's not all of that. It's all of this. I know. It's all of this because perhaps some practicing. Listen, there are guys who are practicing wrong in athletics and it's hurting them. They're practicing wrong. They're practicing with the wrong mindset and it's hurting. There are people in music that are practicing wrong and it's creating bad habits in their life. And because it's creating bad habits, when it comes time to do what they were meant to do, it doesn't come out the way they thought it was going to come out. So we've got to have some persistence in our life, okay? But watch this. Part of being persistent is having some patience. Don't look at nobody right now because patience is hard. And listen, I've had friends that prayed for patience. You say, you never pray for patience? I do not pray for patience because when you pray for patience, things start happening. I had a friend that had a brand new vehicle and he was praying for patience. And 2 days after he bought it, there was a guy driving on the highway, had a spare tire in the back of his truck. And he hit a bump and that spare tire bounced out of his truck, bounced, 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 and hit the hood of his car. And he decided he would quit praying for patience after that. And he would just let the Lord give it to him as he saw fit. Patience. It takes patience to be persistent because we don't just arrive in one day. It doesn't just all happen in one day. It was a faith step. You don't just take a faith jump and it all happens. It's a faith step and it's consistency. I'm going to take another step today. I don't feel like it today, but I'm going to take another step because it's good. It's good to do that. I don't feel like it, but it's a good thing to do. I don't feel like going to church today, but it's the right thing to do. I don't feel like attending an e-group this semester, but I know it's a good thing to do. I don't feel like giving, but it's a good thing to do. I don't feel like it, but it's a good thing to do. And after a while, I realized all the good started adding up, and it was actually the path that God had laid out for me to live the best life. Are you grabbing it today? So it's a persistent, I'm going to keep on doing, watch this, whatever it takes. That's our value. We will do whatever it takes. So let me break it down for you. That means I am so sold out to this thing. I am so surrendered to God's plan for me that I will sacrifice to live it. I am willing to sacrifice to live it. I am willing, watch this. I am willing to sacrifice my position on that one topic if it keeps me from living the best life that God has for me. I'm willing to sacrifice my opinion about that. Watch this. If it's going to make my marriage better. I'm willing to sacrifice my thought about kids if I know it's going to help me to raise better children. See, if we're going to live the best life, we're going to have to change some of the worst stuff. So I have to change. And it messes with us because persistence, it takes patience. It takes patience to keep doing it even though they're driving me nuts. Am I right? It takes persistence to keep doing it. So think about being married. Take some persistence. Raising kids. Take some patience and some persistence. And some please help. Staying in church, it takes some persistence. Finishing school, there are people who are starting school, college students, I think about them. They're starting school and their minds right now is, I don't know if I really, really want to do this. It takes some persistence to finish it. It takes persistence to do the right things, to stick to your morals even when no one else is. It takes some persistence to keep serving, even when you feel like you're the only one sometimes. So how do we keep going? How do I need this? I need God's power. I need the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit empowers me to live the best life. Let me say it like this. The Holy Spirit is my running partner. That when I just run around the corner, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's good for today. Go back home and you're sweating. You're like, whoo, it's a tough run today. Been running for a month and nothing's changed. Walking through Walmart and you get winded. I need a running partner. Did you hear that? I need a running partner. I need somebody to run with me that even though I don't feel like going, we're at the bottom of the hill, they're like, come on, we're going to take this thing today. And the Holy Spirit keeps going to the high places. Because no one wants to run uphill. We'd rather run downhill. But the Holy Spirit's like, come on, we're going to run this thing today. We're going to keep running this race. I don't feel like going to church. Come on, we're going to run this race. I don't feel like, come on, we're going to run this race today. Because it's going to change somebody's life that you serve. Come on, I'm going to run this race today. Sing that song 1,000 times. Don't feel like anybody's listening. I don't feel like anybody's changed. I'm going to sing that song again. I'm going to preach that message again. I'm going to lead that e-group again. Come on. I got some pretty, and it's the Holy Spirit that says, just keep going. Because in due time, you reap a harvest if you do not give up. In due time. Persistence. Let me say it like this. The Holy Spirit strengthens me to keep going when I want to quit. So what's the action step? So you're like, that's good preaching, Pastor Bailey. You better tell me something to do with this. So watch this. Here's your action step. Every day, ask the Holy Spirit, give me strength. Yeah. Ask like he's going to give it to you instead of asking like, even though I'm asking, you ain't going to give it to me, but I'm going to make it sound like I got a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God, I need help. That just sounds like he ain't going to give it to you. I just needed to complain to you. Holy Spirit, I need some help today. I got some things that I need to tackle that are going to be tough. And I'm asking you to strengthen me. I got this meeting coming up today, Lord. I need some strength from you. Because if I don't have your strength, I'm going to take matters in my own hands. And I might demonstrate some things I don't need demonstrated. I'm going to fall back into some bad practices. Are you grabbing this today? So if I'm going to be persistent, I have to understand. Watch this. Do you know that God's given you exactly what you need to live the best life? He knew you would need help, so he sent us the Holy Spirit to help. So here's the last one. It's your perspective. You got to practice. You got to have persistence. But you got to have the right perspective. And this is a big one. Because perspective is how you see it. And how you see life is going to determine how you live it. And I want to be very, very, I want to be intentional about this part because this is the part right here that we never think about. This is the part where we just think we don't have a problem, but everybody else does, but we really do have some problems. And everyone gets to deal with this one. Because perspective, it comes from what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have learned, and what we have experienced. Perspective comes from the people who have influenced us so much in our lives. even people that we would give honor to, even people that we are appreciative of, even people that were significant figures in our lives. But I need you to know that even though they are honorable, and even though they are significant, and even though they played an incredible part in your life, it doesn't mean that they exceed who God is or what God says. Amen? And so we have to understand that, yes, I honor you and I give you credit, but the foremost, the most important influence in my life is Jesus and what God says in his word. And so that might be a good way of thinking, but I want the best way. And let me say it like this. There's a verse in the Bible that says that his ways are higher than ours. Let me help you to understand that. That just means his perspective is a lot higher than ours is. We see everything ground level. And so we interpret it because of what we feel like is coming at us. But when you have a higher perspective, you realize that there's a lot more space between you and that problem than what you thought. But you didn't see it that way because you felt the pressure, you heard the rumblings of it coming at you, and so you thought it was right there. And when you feel like it's right there, that's where we begin to panic. And in our panic, that's where we begin to create these ideas of survival and what all we have to do. But when your perspective is elevated, you can see, oh, even though that thing's coming at me, there's no way it's going to get to me because there's a big wall right there. We don't see that, though, because the terrain isn't all smooth. A lot of times we think everything happens from point A to point B in a straight line. That's not how it works in real life. That's what it looks like on paper. But there's a bunch of odds and ends. There's a bunch of curves. Listen, when God brought the children of Israel to the promised land, why in the world did he take them through a wilderness? Think about that. It was actually to protect them. I wouldn't go that way. I'd find the smoothest route, quickest route. Let's get there, baby. But what happens if you take the easiest, quickest route and you don't ever get there? Come on. And this is a lot of time what our perspective is doing because it's trying to talk us into easy and convenient. And God's trying to talk us into character. Come on, somebody. I got to get inspiring, though, because we're at the end of the message. And so let me shift a little bit. Colossians chapter 3, it says this. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Boy, that's just a straight up verse. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading it. He says, if you're serious about living the best life, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. But mama said, I was always told. What I learned was, but you don't understand. These are the kinds of things that we throw out there whenever anybody begins to give hope, whenever anybody begins to give this sign of life that God's got something better for you. This is where we begin to argue with it because we have created such a perspective, watch this, that it becomes identity for us. And because it's become so much of an identity, it's hard for us to shake it because we don't know who we would be without that. We don't know how to live without that perspective. And this is why it's so hard for change in our life. This is what stunts our growth spiritually because the Holy Spirit is saying, keep going, keep going. You can do this, keep going, you can do this. But in the back of our mind, we hear somebody that told us something a long time ago. You better watch out for that. Because what they're going to do is they're going to set you up to fail and laugh at you while you do it. Think of that. You remember what happened last time you got involved. You remember the last time you did this. Like these are the thoughts. And listen, what does that sound like? That sounds like captivity. That sounds like prison. That sounds like the enemy trying to hold you hostage to an old way of thinking. But watch this. When I begin to get some new practices in my life and I begin to read God's word and apply it, the word begins to wash my mind and it renews the way that I think. And when my thinking changes, my practices change. And when my practices change, now I start getting a little more consistent with the way that I'm living my life. And because I got more consistent, I start seeing the fruit of it in my life. Next thing you know, I got people asking me, what in the world are you doing? How did you overcome this thing? I don't know what I did other than I begin to change the way that I think. My perspective has changed because I built my life on Jesus instead of what everybody else said. You grabbing this today? So if we're going to live the best life, what do I need? If I'm going to change the way I think, what do I need? Watch this. I need God's presence. Because when God shows up, the way I think changes. When he shows up on the scene, I know everything is possible. Are you grabbing that? When he's present in my life, I know things are possible. When he's not present in my life, that's where I feel like I got to make it happen. Are you grabbing this today? And so that means this. That means I've got to position myself for God's presence in my life. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Lord, I need you. I'm praying about this situation because I don't know what to do with it. And not only am I going to pray about it, because if you're worried about it, you pray about it, all right? But not only should you pray about it, but you should praise about it. Because prayer is, oh no, I don't know what to do. But praise is, he does. And I know that he's got the answer. And so God, I worship you now. And this is where patience comes in. Because what do you do when you're waiting? You throw your hands up in the air like you just don't care. Because I know that my God is in control. And in the meantime, even though I'm waiting, I'm learning to be patient because I'm praising you, God. And so I'm taking the negative energy and I'm turning it and putting it into use. And I'm saying, God, I don't see the outcome, but I know you do. You see the bigger picture. Your perspective is higher than mine. And so I'm going to thank you in advance, even before it happens. I'm not going to wait for it to happen to get excited. I'm excited now because I know who you are. And the reason I know that is because I've been practicing a little bit. I've been reading your word, and your word told me that you're a healer. Your word told me you're a deliverer. Your word told me that you set the captives free. Your word told me that you would turn it around. That's what you keep saying. I'm just going to believe it, and so I'm going to worship you now, even though I'm not there yet. I'm going to worship you now, and I'm going to keep praising you. I'm going to keep praising you, and that's why I'm able to say the best is yet to come. It's not based off of present circumstances, but watch this. Now I got an eternal perspective. And the last time I checked, because I chose to follow Jesus, I'm on the pathway that leads me to heaven. I'm on the path that leads me to eternal life. Amen. And so in the meantime, I'm not going to hem-haw around acting like this ain't good. I'm going to start acting like I'm going to heaven. I'm going to start acting like my Father's got a promise for me instead of just feeling like I got to deal with my own problems. Done got all excited in here. That's why, listen, that's why we can say the best is yet to come. That's not just cliche to make people feel good about themselves. That's the truth. The best is yet to come. Why? Because we serve a good God and he's not finished. I heard it said long ago, he's not through blessing you. But watch out, because you might be praying for something up there and you can't figure out why you don't get it. God might just give you a ladder instead. Take a step. Take a step. Take a step. So what is that action step? From my perspective, I got to pray. And I got to praise God every day. See that car ride into work in the morning? I might need to change the radio station. Bobby Bones is good. I like Bobby. But I need something that's going to speak to these bones. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow morning, somebody's changing the channel. Bobby's good. But I need something to speak to these bones. You might have to change the radio. You may have to get your phone loaded with some songs that's going to speak some life, something that's going to lift your spirit, so that when you go into that place where you know it's going to be a battle, you're fueled up, man. See, that's why I say practices change. When our practice change, our persistence change. Our perspective is going to change. See, I can get you fired up, but you got to take the step. Are you understanding what we're talking about today? See, I don't want to package this as pretty. Because sometimes powerful ain't pretty. Come on, somebody. The last time I checked, none of you were looking at heavy equipment to ride around in. It'll get you there. It just won't look like a car. But it can do things your car cannot do. And it can move things your car cannot move. It's powerful. And there's a lot of little Prius Christians. No offense to you. Come on, no offense to you. Hey, you're saving gas. When God intended, hey, I'm trying to have a moment, okay? When God intended for you to have some power. See, I feel like sometimes we're trying to be more efficient than effective. Careful. That's just a pretty way of saying I'm scared. Come on, it's football season. We can talk like this now. You're going to get mad if that coach ain't riding that kid. Come on, don't act like it. We have so turned ourselves into careful. Now watch this. Without realizing it, now we're careless. But it's time for us, church, come on, to get engaged. It's time for us to step into this life that God has for us. Come on, I need to talk to that mom right now that is just frustrated, in over her head. But listen, I believe that the Spirit of God is calling you today, and you're trying to make it sound all pretty, and God's just saying, I need time with you. That's what he's saying. And you're saying, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. God's like, if you can just give me 10 minutes tomorrow morning. 10 minutes. To that guy, come on. To that man who just doesn't feel like this is for him. But you know your family's in trouble. You know it. And you keep trying to act like everything's going to be all good. But you know your family's in trouble. And God's like, you need some time with me. You need some time with me. And God's trying to reassure you, I got the best for you. I really do. But we are so conditioned to believe that I can earn it myself. I'm a self-made man. And God's like, you only go so far with who you are, but I can take you further if you will trust me. There's that young person in here that doesn't even want to hear it from anybody else. I want to hear it from no one. And God is saying to you today, if you will trust me with your life, I'll give you a life that you couldn't have built even on your own. Today, God is calling his church. He's calling you. He's calling out to you. And he's saying, come on, let's get on this journey. Let's take off that old way of thinking. And let's put on this new way of thinking, living the best life that I have for you. Come on, who wants to get on that journey with me? That's the life I want to live. I want to live the best life. I want to stand before God in heaven. And he'd not just say, well done, but he'd say, look at what all we have done. Look at what all we have accomplished. And we're high-fiving God instead of barely just making it in. Come on. It's affecting lives. It's affecting us, our family, our children, and people even around us. Let's take that step. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This was supposed to be a quick message. But Lord, I believe you're speaking to people in here today. And I'm praying for every person right now at this moment. This is a powerful moment. God, I pray that every lie, everything the enemy has told them to try to trap them and keep them in that spot where they feel like they can't move, they can't go anywhere. I pray today those chains will be broken. That truth set them free.